Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein.
Science! Science!
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This was our finest.
Welcome to Jurassic!
Okay.
Yeah. So, guys, welcome to Petri Dish.
Say your name.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Sean.
One of these days, I'm going to be Sean. You're going to be Nathan.
Yeah, that's true. That's
no, true. Okay. So, guys, last episode, if you tuned in, you know that we talked about the Great Dying, which was an event that happened after the fall of Gondolin, or is, refers to this a remarkable mass extinction event 252 million years ago, where 90% of all marine life and 75% of terrestrial life and 102% of aerial spirit life.
Oh shit!
All died off. The wind tribe, air tribe,
oh
the
my
air
God.
Nation, dead.
Wow.
Right. So 252 million years ago, you had this incredible extinction event or period. Well, after that, the age of dinosaurs. And this episode, we're going to talk about the first bit of that great age of dinosaurs.
Yes. This episode is going to be about the Triassic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, why are we talking about this, by the way?
just in fun, I don't know.
Okay, guys. Let's talk about psych dinosaurs. Yeah, so this is actually a little misleading, right? The time period we're talking about is the Mesozoic period, right? Between 252 million years ago and 666. So the time period we're talking about was between 252 million years ago and 66 million years ago.
Yeah.
And that we subcategorize between Jurassic?
Yep.
And Cretaceous. The dead one.
Cretaceous.
Right. And, you know, I had kind of jokingly referred to this as a dinosaur episode. That's actually misleading because during the Jurassic period, this is the kind of repopulationing, right? The repopulating of the globe. We only really get something that we would recognize as dinosaurs towards the end of it.
Right, yeah. So this whole period, the Mesozoic era, the one before our current era, is thought of as the age of the dinosaurs. But like Nathan's saying, the Triassic, it's when the dinosaurs evolved. It's where we see the first dinosaurs. But they do not become sort of the kings of the Earth in the same way that they are during the Jurassic period and the Cretaceous period.
Right.
And so it's a 50 million year time period that we're talking about, the Triassic. It starts 252 million years ago with the Great Dying.
Yeah.
And it ends around 201 million years ago with the Triassic-Jurassic extinction event.
Okay.
So it's bookended on both sides by a bunch of shit dying. Which is actually how we categorize periods of time often in sort of, you know, geologic time.
It's right.
Like a bunch of shit died and we noticed it in layers of rocks. Right?
Yeah.
And so when we talked about the Great Dying, it was a big deal event. Maybe, most likely, it was because of volcanic activity that dumped a bunch of CO2 and sulfur and methane into the atmosphere.
Right. Everything acidified.
Yep.
Acid rain dropping.
So shitty, right?
All crap. We can't even get good coal.
Right. Just wiped out the coal.
How are we going to have another Great Dying without that coal?
Right, yeah. How are the Chinese people going to cook all of their delicious foods at their homes without coal? The Triassic-Jurassic extinction event, the thing that ended the Triassic period...
Yeah.
It's still a little bit mysterious, but the current, like, big theory on it is pretty much the same deal. Big volcanic activity that changed the climate and acidified the oceans.
So do you think that's something that, like, the Earth has gotten more mature and we don't do that as much anymore? Or do you think it's just, like, some point in 100 million years, there'll be some other volcanic period of increased volcanic activity over, like, a million years that also, if we haven't already completely obliterated everything, we'll obliterate everything.
Well, it'll definitely change things up a lot. I think the Earth goes through cycles of it. There are long periods of time in our geologic record where, like, our land masses don't change.
Right.
Okay. Pangaea was Pangaea for a long time.
Right.
But actually, the volcanic activity that we're talking about here that ended the Triassic was the same volcanic activity that tore Pangaea apart.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So actually, the Triassic ends with Pangaea beginning to separate more into the continents that we have today.
Cool.
But one of the things that we'll see when we get to it is that at the end of the Cretaceous period, when the dinosaurs were killed, right?
Yeah.
The continents that were there when the dinosaurs were killed, roughly the same continents as today.
Wow.
So, in 66 million years...
Except Australia. Australia is just a big spaceship, right? It was six continents, and then Australia landed.
Well, but they landed 70 million years ago. They caught the tail end. Actually, maybe Australia hitting the Earth is what killed the dinosaurs.
That's a funny image. You should animate that.
just a bunch of bogans.
Yeah, so that's
yeah. Just riding the big Australian disc.
And like slowly evolving over time into Joey's. You do like a time-lapse animation. Or like, I mean, you just have like a couple bogans slowly turning into wannabes.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, so that is basically what's happening in this time period. You had Pangaea. It exists during the Triassic, but it's beginning to break up, and the violent volcanic activity that's happening in this area called the Central Atlantic Magmatic Province caused this really intense tectonic activity that formed the Atlantic Ocean and broke up Pangaea into Gondwana and Laurasia.
Yeah, you know, Jared Diamond wrote a pretty interesting book about this, actually. It's called The Breaking of Pangaea, The Reason the West Invented Gunpowder. It was a very persuasive novel on, not novel, it's a persuasive nonfiction on geographic determinism.
Definitely nonfiction.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break.
Yeah. Pangaea, : why Protestantism won.
Wow, nice. So let's take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about what the environment was looking like, okay, during this Triassic 50 million year period.
Yeah.
Time is passing. Time is relative. But not for you. You're running out of time. Plan your funeral today with Prudential Life Insurance.
It must be weird when you're named Roxanne. That, like, the song that all the guys play for you that refers to you is, like, about being a prostitute.
Yeah, that must be weird. But it's also, like, being someone named Chastity and knowing that, like...
It's just wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's inaccurate.
So, the Weather Channel during the Triassic period would have been pretty different compared to today.
Yeah. Or being someone named Esther and just knowing that you have the same name as 20 million other Korean women.
That's true, but also esters are a certain kind of chemical bond, so that's also true.
That's cool, too.
So, the weather during the Triassic was kind of different. Because of the presence of Pangaea, we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the Great Dying, but it was this huge block of land, pretty centrally located, so it was not too much area over the North or South Pole.
Right.
So mostly hanging out, you know, the equator, some latitudes from there. The climate was relatively homogeneous over the entire landmass.
That's crazy.
It was like a little bit different near the edges, north and south, but there were no polar ice caps. The weather was generally arid, hot during the day, cold at night. There was probably a really intense monsoon season with really heavy rainfall, but the rest of the year, you probably didn't get very much rainfall at all.
God, how does stuff evolve to deal with that kind of thing?
Well, it's probably one of the reasons why amniotes were so successful after the Great Dying.
Right.
Is because...
The penis. The foreskin shelters the penis head from heavy rain.
Because...
Like, I've always noticed that I have an aversion to heavy rain.
One of the main points of amniotes in the amniotic
scares
sac...
my circumcision. Ew. Don't say sack on the pod.
No, I'm going to say it.
Don't say that.
Sack. The whole point of their sack is that they could give birth to kids on land.
Right.
They could do that by laying eggs, or they could have live birth, but the point is that they could do that on land, right?
I mean, was that helpful because the oceans were formerly so hot and acidic?
Well, I mean, maybe in part. I could see that being the case in that, like, you know, amphibian eggs probably are kind of sensitive to acidity and stuff like that.
They're sensitive to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and, it, you know, if the ocean was really hot, maybe they could have gotten cooked or something.
Yeah.
But there's also just not that much fresh water available.
Right.
And so, you know, if you can lay your eggs not nearby fresh water, you got a lot more land you can cover.
Right.
And so there were a lot of these reptiles and a lot of these amniotes in general that were pretty successful during this time period. In the higher latitudes, so further away from the equator, land masses that today would be called Russia, Ukraine, China, South America, South Africa, Antarctica, they were probably swampy.
Right.
Where the plant matter was decaying slowly, leading to the formation eventually of coal deposits.
So that's good.
During the Triassic, plant life did rebound back. Swamps were around, and so we do start to see coal deposits again after several million years.
I mean, the countries you listed are also my favorite natural exploitation sites, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's all great. It's just naming the hits.
Yeah.
All the big ones.
Yeah.
So there were vast forests of tall conifer trees, maybe kind of recognizable, actually, as something that looked kind of like a redwood forest.
Because you were telling me that plants before this, I wouldn't even know what the fuck I'm looking at. They look like octopuses with Robin Williams' legs and like Dave Chappelle's torso. I don't even know what that means. And Neil Brennan doing that doing that three mics routine. So just like this very unfunny, dour, sad man. And you'd be like, that's a plant. And I'd be like, what?
Yeah, yeah. But you would recognize these conifer trees.
Yeah, yeah.
They look kind of like pine trees. I think you know what they look like.
Yeah, I watched Three Mics.
Yeah, okay.
It was pretty good.
You're the only one.
Yeah, an owl.
But underneath that kind of upper canopy of the conifer trees would be a bunch of other conifer plants that, like, we don't really recognize today. Okay, because conifers, like, literally, we're talking about, like, pine trees, right? But you would see conifer bushes, you would see conifer vines and shit like that. Which, like, I don't even know what a conifer vine would look like. It doesn't make sense to me, but they existed.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That's fun. I guess I could see, like, a long thing with, like, little pine needles coming off of it, right?
Sure, that sounds
fun. Like a tail, almost.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, I'm just trying to work with you.
That's kind of sexy. Okay, there were also a lot of ginkgo trees and a lot of what are called cycad trees.
I'm so sick of ginkgos, man. I was watching this insider like restaurant video about this awful looking Nordic Michelin place in like Harrisburg or Brooklyn or some donkey crap borough of New York.
Okay.
And the guy spent like all morning picking individual ginkgo seeds from outside his restaurant. And, like, peeling them or whatever and, like, putting them into a little conifer to eat as one of the 13 courses. And he junked it by the afternoon. He's just like, eh, this isn't good. This doesn't taste good. And it's just like, it just was bonkers, dude.
It's a very different kind of life. It's a very different kind of life on Earth.
Yeah. But anyway, so ginkgos.
Yeah, ginkgos and cycads. Cycads look kind of like stout, fat palm trees.
Yeah, I think I've seen cycads, actually.
Right, yeah. In a lot of things where maybe you've seen, you know, like what the world looked like in the Triassic and Jurassic, you would recognize these as looking kind of like palm trees.
Oh, well, no, I have a few cycads.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why do you have them?
I mean, they're really drought resistant.
Okay. But cycads are not actually closely related to palm trees at all. They're pretty distantly related.
Okay.
But they look kind of similar, so that's why I'm
bringing them. Don't have marijuana.
Yep, no grass yet.
No grass.
But there are still vast prairies in the drier areas where the forests can't grow. Yeah.
Prairies of fern.
Right, which
weird.
Is weird to think about.
Yeah. And I always thought ferns are very wet, you know?
Right, and that's the thing, is that during this time period, there's actually much more diversity in terms of ferns.
Right.
Including ferns that basically took the place of what, any place you'd think about there being a grass now.
Right, it was a fern.
Fern instead.
That sounds awful, right? Because ferns like all spore up.
They do.
That must have been tits.
Well, grass, like, puts out shit.
What? How do soccer players play in spring? Okay, let's
my allergies. That, maybe that's why they're flopping so often. So the Triassic was a 50 million year period. So of course things changed over time, right? And a big change was that Pangaea started breaking up in the middle Triassic, splitting into Gondwana in the south and Laurasia in the north.
Yeah.
Gondwana is what would eventually become South America, Africa, India, Antarctica, and Australia.
It's a lot of them.
And Laurasia is the other stuff, aka North America and Eurasia.
Mm, that's why white people look the same between those two places. Because they're actually from the same continent. Tucker Carlson should do an expose on this and should rename white people as Laurasians.
You are a garbage person.
And then he should have a photo of a nice, pretty looking blonde woman and be like, this is Laura, the mother of us all.
Wow.
He should get like pagan with it. He's just invented a new religion called Tuckerism.
I don't even want to hear what Tucker has to say about Gondwana. Okay. I don't even want to hear him say Gondwana.
No, well, hey, but that's kind of nuts that North and South America, they're not actually hewn from the same stone. Like they're fucking different.
Right. They separated in the middle of Jurassic.
And then came back together.
Yeah.
Eventually. That's like when Harry met Sally, dude. That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, they You're came right. back together.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, that's cool.
And in the place where they gingerly touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We built a canal.
We built... we split them apart! We goddamn us, mankind!
All right.
We've sundered lovers.
Let's take our break. And then when we come back, let's finish it out by talking about the life at sea. Because next episode,
yeah,
we'll talk about all the life on land and in the air of the Triassic period.
Oh, okay, I see. So we're kind of doing a three-parter, although not in this episode. Like, this episode we finish at sea, the next one we get to our dinosaurs, basically.
Land and air, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Okay, so let's take that break, and then let's do it.
The following is an actual advertisement.
Oh my god, I know words.
Yeah, I love etymology!
Spooky-ooky. Murderer.
Double murders.
Zombies. Horror is always political. Mm-hmm.
I don't like that at all.
Hi, I'm Alex, and I'm a creep.
And I'm Sunshine, her creep-enabling best friend.
Together we tackle all things horror. History, politics, science, and sociology. From zombies to serial killers.
Pomegranates and Pitchforks is a horror and true crime podcast that brings true stories and not-so-true stories together in beautiful and disturbing harmony.
Okay, so we start the story of life at sea in the Triassic with the perennial losers, mm-hmm. right? Coral reefs.
Yeah, yeah.
Coral reefs, they seem to me to die off a lot. And they yeah. did die off in the Great Dying, which makes sense if acidification was the problems. Coral reefs aren't good with acidification.
Right. So it took like, you know, a few million years for things in the oceans to like get not shitty enough for coral reefs to start reestablishing themselves. But indeed they did, especially in the Sea of Tethys, which is kind of interesting. Apparently North and South China were not the same landmass.
Whoa.
They were actually like a ring of islands.
What?
Yeah. And eventually got shoved together into China.
Into China?
Yeah.
We need to make a Pixar movie about that. That's cool sounding. That's crazy.
So, in the sea that was kind of formed by the ring of island areas that's North and South China, that sea was a place where coral reefs really started getting going.
Wow, then we just squished them into land.
Well.
Rude.
I mean, to be fair, after 50 million years was the end of Triassic yeah. extinction event,
yeah.
which also acidified the oceans.
Right.
So the coral reefs were, they were dead again.
Well, that and the CCP built the Three Gorges Dam.
Yeah.
And so that like cleared out the whole Sea of Tethys.
Yeah. I mean, just to be clear to our listeners, that did not happen during the Triassic, but I appreciate the thought.
Well, the earlier CCP.
So a lot of...
The DCP, the Dinosaur Communist Party.
So if you recall...
We gotta build the Three Dino Dam! We gotta electrify dinosaur land!
That would be a fun movie. That's one of those Land Before Time movies.
Oh my god, a communist Land Before Time.
So a lot of the animal life died out during the Great Dying, if you recall. Though, a few groups stuck around and did pretty well for themselves for a while afterward. There were the Ammonites.
No, that's a religious group.
It does sound like one, doesn't it?
The Ammonites?
Yeah, anyway, so the Ammonites, which were cephalopods, so they're related to octopuses and cuttlefish, yeah. but they had like a curly shell, kind of like a nautilus does.
Mm.
They really expanded out and diversified in the Triassic, kind of early on after the Great Dying.
Right.
But unfortunately for them, they really started to kind of go extinct near the end of the Triassic. And while they would linger on for millions of years after the end of the Triassic, they were just like a shadow of their former selves.
Right.
And then now today, there are no Ammonites.
An empty shell, if you will.
An empty shell.
Yeah, yeah.
And now there are no Ammonites at all.
Wow.
Okay, so none of that branch of cephalopods.
Yeah, they're
survived.
All killed off in the Siege of Munster. It's a little war of religion reference for you guys out there. All right.
That's great.
You're
great.
Welcome.
So
that was the Anabaptists, guys.
Yeah.
5 points for Gryffindor if you figured that out.
Gosh, you're naughty. Okay, look. So in the oceans, there were also these things called the conodonts. The conodonts were this whole class of animals with tons of species. They looked a lot like eels without jaws.
Mm.
So they're like swimmy tubes with their mouths open.
You know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking.
I don't like your stance right now. Anyway.
I got a conodont.
These conodonts, they had been around for a long time.
Yeah.
They had been around since the Cambrian explosion half a billion years ago.
Right.
They were one of the earliest species that have a spine like us. They're one of the early species of vertebrate.
A mouthless eel. Is it mouthless?
Jawless.
Jawless. A jawless eel sounds like a pretty easy win, right? For evolution. Right?
Yeah. It's basically a swimming spine, is what it is.
Yeah.
And?
Well, you call it a little danger noodle in here.
Yes. These little swimming danger noodles, they made it through the Great Dying. They had made it through the other extinction events from half a billion years back, right? So they survived into the Triassic, but by the end of the Triassic, they're all extinct.
Well, 500 million years or whatever you're basically saying, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah, they had a run of 300 million years.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. They did their best. Little danger noodles.
But now we gotta get them icky thicky thors, right?
Yes. So
now we gotta get the cool stuff that we've all taken photos of.
There was... Yeah. In that dinosaur game that we played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
There was a new arrival to the oceans. It was a group of reptiles that decided that they, like, were not into the land stuff.
Right.
They're like, oh, you know what? Like, maybe it's too much acid rain or, like, there's other...
Like Phelps.
There's other land reptiles that are, like, out-competing us. So, they decided they want to get back into the water. The ichthyosaurs.
Okay.
The ichthyosaurs are reptiles, yes, but...
They're like angry-looking dolphins.
They look like dolphin, fish, crocodile hybrids.
Right, their name actually means pointy dolphin in Latin.
I don't think that's right, but...
Yeah, pointed dolphin. Irate dolphin.
I think it's fishy reptiles is what their name means, but...
Well, that's... that's pretty good,
too. They did good.
That's good.
They ranged in size from a few feet long, so kind of cute, to more than 50 feet in length, which is longer than a humpback whale.
Still cute.
Cute, but kind of freaky. That would be scary.
Yeah.
They were air-breathing, warm-blooded, bore live young... All like dolphins today.
Right.
They made their first appearance in the early Triassic, but really started dominating the seas in the late Triassic.
Okay.
At that point, they were just like swimming and bobbing, eating up shitloads of fish, eating sharks, not giving a fuck, right? They were doing a good job.
That's cool.
There were other reptiles that made a similar kind of transition over into the ocean. For example, there were the...
Nothosaurs.
Yep, the Nothosaurs, which actually kept their legs instead of turning them into little paddle-y guys, instead of developing fins, basically.
Right.
But they probably hung out on rocks and beaches and then just dived for their food before coming back to land.
Yeah.
Eventually, Nothosaurs evolved and died out during the Triassic, but what they gave rise to were the Plesiosaurs.
Right, and these guys are pretty famous.
These guys are famous... Dinosaur-looking motherfuckers with fins on their leg instead of legs,
yeah.
Right? And they lived in the water. They had those flippers. They had pretty long necks. And once the next period comes around, the Jurassic, these are the guys that really give the ichthyosaurs a run for their money.
Well, I mean, but... And they continue to exist in parts of Scotland, right?
This is messy.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Right.
So, that's kind of what's been going on in the oceans during the Triassic, okay?
Right.
But, of course, the Triassic is a time period of a lot of innovations on the land.
Yeah, no one really gives a shit about the ocean. We live on land, okay, and this is the time when dinosaurs happen.
Right, so that so is why...
Sean's left the good jizz for the next week.
That's why I did oceans first. It's because I knew no one would care. But next week, we're going to be talking about the land. And yes, that includes dinosaurs. That also includes a very early look at mammals. And it includes the first vertebrate animals to take to the air.
Right. And we're going to wrap it all up by going back to our conversation on phenotypic plasticity how all of them are actually just one species of reptile, but that their genes were expressed differently in different environments.
Wow. Wow. Sometimes I hate when you remember things I say.
Hey, guys, so thank you. Goodbye for Petri Dish.
Hold on, what?
I'm Nate. This is Sean.
Do the things in order. We have to say thank you to Stacey Song, our sound lord and engineer.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Griffin, for art.
Yep, all those things. And then, hey. It's a Gmail address, petridishpod@gmail.com. Twitter @dishpodcast. Patreon.com/petridish.
Yeah.
That's all the information. That's all of it.
Dafsex.com/Sean.
What?
Yeah. I made it for you.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all next time for Triassic Part 2.